Now joining us from the Scoria is Dom Cosentino. Thanks for doing this, Dom. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I've kind of been that guy that's doubted the Niners all year long. It's getting certainly harder and harder to do that, but it's a good NFC, and the Saints and Seahawks are still going to be tough outs come the playoffs. But what the Niners did do for me last night is really expose the Packers for really all of their flaws, and that maybe they're not as good as their record or a lot of the narrative suggested.
Yeah, I think more than anything, the Niners showed that defense is legitimate. And being able to get pressure as frequently as they did with just a four-man rush with that defensive line that they've got, that's a really hard formula for offenses to beat. If you can get pressure on a quarterback, you know, force him from the pocket, force him to make quicker throws, maybe quicker than he wanted to, force him to hold the ball because you've got seven back in coverage so frequently – you know, frankly, that's the blueprint the Giants used to win a pair of Super Bowls against the Patriots. So, you know, I'm not ready to crown the Niners by any means. You know, there's still several weeks left in the season, playoffs, a lot can happen. But they really showed, that they're the caliber of team to get that far if it were to come to that.
Now, I know you've written on NFL officiating in the past, and, you know, it's been bad for a long time, but it seems like this year it's really getting even more of the microscope on it, more of the focus on it. And yesterday, you know, the Niners got some pretty questionable calls go in their favor early on. It probably doesn't make a difference for the Packers, but some questionable calls early on that really favored the Niners. The Dallas game, the tripping call in their fourth quarter drive against the Patriots. I mean, really big moments in big games in big spots that people are getting to sit there and analyze from their television screens and say, how the heck are they calling these right now in these moments? Is it worse than it's ever been? Is there a way to fix it? Like, what's the answer here?
Well, I don't know if there's a way to fix it, but I think the real problem is just, and I've written about this plenty from when I was at Deadspin, you know, now I'm going to do more of that at the Score, hopefully. But I think the biggest problem is that the rule book has become so complex that there's so much for all of these officials to consider at any given moment. We all have the benefit of watching, you know, like replays being presented to us frame by frame as we're sitting on our couches. The officials don't have that. Yes, the Travis Frederick tripping call during at the end of that Cowboys Patriots game was terrible. But, you know, from the official's vantage point, I can see how they might have made that mistake because Frederick sort of threw his right leg out, you know, it really in a way to kind of position himself better. But the way it might have looked to the official who had an instant to think about it, you know, it's going to be a potential tripping call. And that was the flag that ended up getting thrown. The play that really threw me yesterday was the one from the Saints Panthers game where they overturned a non pass interference call, which has not been happening for 10 weeks around the league. You know, it's almost like a wildcat strike on the part of the officials not to enforce the PI replay review system. And then they do it in a game against the Saints in New Orleans on a play that was pretty questionable. I mean, it ended up not mattering because the Panthers missed that field goal. But if you go back and watch that play, that the fact that that was one that they chose to allow for an interference call to be called in a situation like that really makes you wonder, because they had not been overturning or changing any calls like that for several weeks now.
Before we move on from the Niners and the Packers, I wanted to get you on the passionate plea from Richard Sherman for standing up for his quarterback after the game yesterday, talking about the criticism that fans and media lobbed towards Jimmy G. Is the criticism fair from us, or do we need to show him a little bit more respect because they are getting W's?
They're winning games, and I think that is the bottom line. You know, the Niners are a very well-coached offense in the sense that they use a lot of different formations. They do a lot out of run formations, two tight ends, two running backs, more so than a lot of other teams. Most of the teams around the league like to do a lot of stuff with three wide receivers, you know, on the field at once. So the Niners do a lot of different things, and they try to beat you in different ways. It seems like they haven't had to put themselves in positions where Jimmy G has to win them games. they just find ways to do it, you know, the most efficient way as possible. And that's really what they've been doing. So, you know, I don't know how you argue with a guy who's 10-1, you know, or a team that's 10-1. I don't know what you're expecting at this point. It's not like the record is reversed and Jimmy G is really struggling. This team is winning games, and that's really the bottom line. And I think all that the Niners fans certainly are going to care about once January hits.
Dom Cosentino, our guest here on Reach Deep. Follow him on Twitter by his name. Now, yesterday was also a bit of a, okay, what's wrong with the Patriots offense? And, you know, I find it funny because it's been like this all year long, and then they choose the monsoon game to really pick on Tom Brady and the Patriots offense. So I get it, though. There is issues, but as much as I think the Patriots do have their flaws, I still think the trust you have in Bill Belichick to have that team better prepared and more ready for every single opponent every single week and know that he's going to outcoach the guy on the other side, like that's still going to give the Patriots an edge a lot of weeks and certainly in the playoffs, and it's probably the reason they beat the Cowboys yesterday as well.
For how many years have we been saying in November when the Patriots sort of don't look perfect that this could be the year it all ends or whatever happens? And I mean, we're having this conversation right now and they're 10-1, you know, they're struggling on offense, but it really doesn't matter because they're winning games. I mean, they don't have good receivers. They don't have a tight end like Gronk, like they've had for years. They've had some injuries with some of the running backs that, you know, they've been kind of like, they like to use a fullback, which not a lot of teams do, but they figured out other ways to do that, you know, despite the injuries. They will just find ways. And Brady, you know, has not been his usual outstanding self, but he still threw a lot of accurate balls in the bad weather, as you mentioned yesterday, that were dropped. And, you know, or that maybe a better receiver might have been able to go up at the point of attack when he's being guarded by a defender and come down with a ball that might have happened, you know, stuff like that might have happened in the past. But I wouldn't bet against the Patriots until they're finished, because they seem to do this every year. Last year, after the miracle in Miami, everyone was wondering how far they'd go or whether this was the end of the era, all of that stuff. They're still winning. And as you said, as long as Belichick is still there, I wouldn't bet against him.
And, you know, on the flip side of that, Jason Garrett, he's been employed for a long time despite making very questionable decisions for a long time. And yesterday, Jerry Jones took to the media to call him out a little bit. But, I mean, this is Jason Garrett. And now that he's got a roster that's worthy of being among the best in the NFC, it's getting more of the spotlight than it ever has.
Yeah, I think, again, this was something else that came up last year. I remember they lost a night game to the Texans where he made some bad calls, and we were wondering about him. Well, they ended up winning the division, winning a playoff game, and everything was okay. But as you mentioned, they've now got a number of veteran contracts that they've taken care of, still a couple of other big ones that are outstanding, including Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper. You know, the fact of the matter is they have a roster that should be better than what their 6-5 record indicates. And, you know, if Jerry's impatience, he's always impatient, but it's very glaring when, you know, in a 13-6 game, they have an opportunity perhaps to tie the Patriots and they settle for a field goal in a game where, you know, it was going to be unlikely that they're going to get the ball back with good field position and a chance to march up the field, still needing a touchdown at that stage in the game. So Garrett's flaws have been, you know, like you said, shown to the world for a long time, but it's especially glaring now because they do have a roster that's built for a deep playoff run.
Dom, really good to have you on here today. Appreciate you making the time for us. We'll be able to find your work at The Score coming up in early December, and we look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate it. So take care, guys.
Sportsnet 650.